Municipal Congress and its old home week, it seems like. Robert Miles, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jerry. It's good to be here with you.
Glad to see you in Laughlin. You just came off another event in Phoenix for fast walkers in high-definition widescreen. And the next showing, what, will be in Montreal?
It's actually in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, Toronto. Okay, well,
March,
I was close.
March the 7th.
Yeah, not too close, but same country.
You bet. Well, they're working hard up there to put on a really good show, and I'm sure it'll be a good one.
Now, what's going to happen there with Fast Walkers? You're going to show it at a theater someplace or at the convention or what?
It's actually being shown in a large auditorium up there. I think there's about almost 600 seats, so it's going to be a real challenge to get the public out to come and watch the picture and then also
Okay. Now, what's the charge for that? Do you know?
I think the charge is $10.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's well worth that. As I said, we had Paul on it and me, so
You bet. We got a lot of great people in Fast Walkers, and we had a really great premiere in Phoenix. Sorry you weren't there, Jerry.
Well, we were planning on doing, but events got us. As you know, we've been here for two or three days, and we haven't had time to visit very much. A lot of people think I'm out playing around, but really we got a lot of work to do.
I think you're probably doing a comedy routine in one of the clubs.
Yeah,
there, the little stand-up there.
Yeah, well, I got to pay for my expenses, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about we're going to try to get you to go to Roswell, and I'm going to try to get you and Paula together in some sort of little presentation, and maybe a couple other people.
Yeah, what would be great is if we could actually get a theater complex in Roswell to participate and go ahead and show the movie for a week there. I think we'd get tremendous response from the general public and for the people attending the UFO week there.
Now, when will you get here to a big Congress? This is where you filmed a lot of this Fast Walkers DVD.
Yeah, we actually filmed here.
I mean, because you see a lot of people here that are experts.
You bet. You get a chance to meet a lot of the great people that have done the research over the years and have the credentials and are definitely worth listening to. Also, we filmed a lot of it in Germany. We filmed some in people's backyards. We filmed some in Washington, D.C. as well. So there's actually a lot of locations.
And where did you get Paula and Father Balducci or whatever his name was?
Geraldo Balducci.
Forgive me.
Paula.
Okay.
Yeah, were actually filmed in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
At the X Conference there, put on by Steve Bassett.
In fact, speaking of Steve Bassett, he'll be on here a little bit. I just saw him a while ago.
Yeah, Steve's a real powerhouse. He really works hard at getting the word
out there.
Yeah,
I mean, he spent some time in Sholo with you.
Yes, he did. We had a very successful premiere in Sholo, and we had a lot of
Well, you know, the thing, and I guess you're running, the thing I like about it, Robert, is that when you did the thing in Sholo, even though you lived there at least part of the time, you weren't even aware of how many people came out of the woodwork that have had experiences and sightings and actual contacts.
You bet. It is the home of Travis Walton, as you know, Jerry, Fire in the Sky.
Right,
Travis
we had him Walton on the air with us at that premiere.
Yeah, but there were an amazing number of people, as there are everywhere you go, that are. You know, maybe a little hesitant at first to share their stories and what's happened to them in their life, but the minute they see the movie and they start interacting with other people in the audience, they come right out and tell you about the things that happened in their life to them and their families. And
I imagine some of that happens here as soon as they figure out who you are.
Yeah.
You start talking to somebody and suddenly dawns on them. Have anybody come up? Well, I've had a couple of people come up and tell me some interesting contact experiences already.
Oh, I have too. And you know, it's this group of people at this event, of course, are very receptive. But one of the goals of Fast Walkers was to present a motion picture in a manner that the general public, somebody that wasn't really familiar with the entire body of evidence, could sit down and in one setting get a pretty good dose of all the information from the leading authorities and get it in a concise and organized manner.
Now, I've told you this before, so it's no secret I'm a fan, not only because you put me in there only for 45 seconds, but yeah,
I only got a minute and a half. I had a ride on a spaceship.
I may have been close to you. I may have been that long. I've told you before, I thought you did an excellent job with Fast Walkers because you cover almost all of the things that we talk about in ufology. And you put it in an order that works. Now you're an old Hollywood screenwriter, and you've written this book before. We've talked about Safe Space and your foundation and all that kind of stuff. So you know it's not like you're somebody brand new in this, but still it had to be a job putting that into some sort of order, some sort of sense, some sort of showmanship production. It's great.
Right. Well, I appreciate the fact that you liked it. It was a challenge because there were a lot of topics, a lot of things to cover, and I thought it was really important to put the emphasis of the picture not only on the past, because most UFO movies, of course, go into just the past and a lot of the different crashes and things, but we tried to bring out the whole context of exopolitics. And also the idea that there's hope for the world, that, you know, that we can actually change the conditions and that we can better the planet, and that what we need is disclosure. What we need is for the governments of the world and the people that are in the know to bring the public the information that's out there on the new energies and the kind of things that can benefit and help mankind.
Yeah, that's one reason I got it brought around to the conversation with this. You're a big booster in the theme, a theory, the idea behind exopolitics. I know that from personal experience talking to you. You're very positive, more positive than I am even about it. You think we can do something?
I really think that we can do something, and part of it comes from the fact of my own personal experience with these extraterrestrial beings was a very positive experience, and it was an enlightening experience, and it brought home to me the idea that the world can change and that things can get better, and this can become a garden planet, and that we can regain our rightful heritage to the stars. And I think that's the hope that mankind has dangling before them like a carrot, whether they want to choose a path of destruction and violence and war, or whether they want to take the leap into the creation of the future of a planet that doesn't have the shortages and the poverty and the misinformation that we've been fed down through the centuries.
That brings us around to your Safe Space activities. How is that going? Is that still on the back burner? I mean, it had to go back there because of the Fast Walkers production. That took all your time.
Sure. Well, Safe Space, of course, is based on my contact experience and on my book, Safe Space. But the idea that over the coming years that we will take on additional projects like the Fast Walker movie is very heartening to me, because what emerged from the original Safe Space undertaking was the Fast Walker team coming together to do the movie. And although it took 3 years and although it took our own money and a lot of dedication, we were successful in doing it. So I have a lot of hope for the future projects that we intend to do through Safe Space.
And you've had
pretty
good experience with this movie already, but I have a hunch it's going to really last for a while. It's going to be a classic.
Well, good.
You didn't enter in the thing here,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, we sure did. We're in three categories. Okay. We're in full-length documentary, UFO-related theme documentary, and also best music score.
Well, this show will be posted overnight, so we still won't know whether or not you won or not.
Well, we can hope, Jerry. That's for sure.
Well, that's great. Now, you going to do another project anytime soon, or are you just still busy with this one promoting it, I imagine?
Well, this one has been a big job promoting it, and because we're such a small team, a lot of that has landed on my shoulders and also on everybody in the team. So we're getting through. We just had the Phoenix premiere, which was very successful. We had hoped that even a greater number of the public would come out, but we did have a good crowd. We had well over 240 people there that came out to see the film on a Wednesday night. That's a work night, of course, for many people. And then we're going here at the Congress. We're going to have a good showing. I think we'll have a good response here. Then Toronto. And then, of course, as you've talked about, Roswell, and we need to...
And there's some time in between there, so I'm sure Fast Walkers will be appearing elsewhere, too.
Absolutely.
If there's somebody listening that might want to help you out in that area, what does the movie theater have to have? What kind of facilities does it have to have?
Well, because the movie is done in HD digital, the person has to have a high-definition projection system. Now, it doesn't have to be at the level that we used in Phoenix, because there are different levels of projectors. And, of course, it can actually just be shown on off the DVD in a standard situation.
Now, like you do that occasionally. You do that occasionally.
That's correct, yeah.
In fact, you have a little portable deal, and I know you've had a couple of meetings like that.
You bet.
Can they go to your website and contact you? Maybe you, would you be willing to go someplace to do something like that?
Well, what we'd like to have is someone come together and do the promotion and pull the facility together and help do some of the legwork and the groundwork, because that's what it takes. As you know, Jerry, you've been in the entertainment business for...
Well, we don't want to get how long.
But it takes a lot of good promotion.
No, folks, they did have talkies. When we're going to take a break here in a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the things near and dear to your heart about this whole operation and the whole thing.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the UFO Congress, and we'll be right back. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. We're at the Aquarius Casino Resort on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin, Nevada, at the UFO Congress. And Robert, what kind of vibes are you getting around here?
The
reason I asked that, you're an in touch sort of guy.
Well, we're getting real good vibes. We're getting introductions to a lot of people. We're meeting people from the field, from all over the world, and getting a chance to be in contact. And also, I'm very fortunate. I've got my friend and lover here with me, and she's been talking to people, and her name is Fran, and she was very instrumental.
I've talked to Fran. She's a nice lady, and she's sitting next to us over here.
Yeah, and she was very instrumental in getting
I have a weakness for redheads anyway.
Is that, well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, evidently you do, too.
Absolutely. <Yeah. laughs> But it's nice to be here among friends and also with associates and be able to get a feeling for fast walker on the ground, because this is where, you know, the rubber hits the road.
Have you ran across a lot of people that have seen it?
Well, you know, it seems like a lot of people have seen it, because there's been a lot of DVDs that
firsthand. Have you got anybody that wants to critique you yet, or is a excellent job, or any feedback?
Oh yeah, we've had a lot of good reviews. A couple of people think it could be a little shorter. That there's so much information in it, it's a little hard to digest all that information in one sitting. And of course, that's why.
Did you tell them you scaled it down?
Yeah.
And it took a long time to get it down as short as it was.
That's the truth.
How long is it?
It's 98 minutes.
That's not all that long. It's about the right length, really.
But in the first cut, it was 122 minutes, and that was just too long. And I think that probably as time goes on, there will probably be another adapted version for television, possibly, that, you know, drops into the one-hour slot or something.
Yeah, you're going to have to get it down to 48 minutes. We've got to put commercials in there.
Yep.
Or I guess we could have a two-hour extravaganza.
Yeah, well, we hope for that. That's the ideal situation, is a two-hour program.
I've often thought that the things that you did on this DVD would make an excellent TV show. That's sort of... upfront and personal touch on stories, yet some good visuals and good graphics, good sound. Excellent production in this thing.
Well, thank you. I think all the elements are there, and I think bringing together the top people in the world certainly helped it, but also getting the help of people from all over the world sending pictures and telling their stories and giving us the material that we used. And, of course, there was over 50 hours of material that we selected it from. So it was a very challenging, daunting process, and we had a lot
of... Okay, so what do you think of the state of ufology today, and what's turning you on and turning you off?
Well, the thing I like about it is that there are some very dynamic people involved. The thing that I really don't understand is why they haven't all come together, created a huge database, and created a wave, Jerry, that would take this information in mass A out to the public. And I would really like to see that happen. I'd like to see someone get behind the idea of joining forces, a little more cooperation. To get the whole thing out and maybe make the impact greater felt.
You know, there's not a more cutthroat business in the world, as you know, than broadcasting. And we get along a lot better than many of the ufologists. I mean, talking about fellow broadcasters, I don't quite understand what's happening there either. So I can't really give you any advice. I think people just need to understand we're talking about information, and the more it's justified and the more it's out, probably you'll be better off. In other words, I have a philosophy. I always try to hang around. When I used to be on live radio, I like to be on stations with lots of great talents rather than me being the, you know, a lot of guys want to do it the other way. They want a lot of poor people and then them. Well, I always felt if I was around a lot of great people that were very talented, then they'd figure I probably was too. Just by the company. And I think that's kind of the way that ufologists ought to think about this. If they've got information and they start sharing it, I think they all talk about the common thread here, but a lot of them don't follow it. Now
practice it.
I have a lot of people, though, that do, and we have some nice people in this organization, I mean, all the way around.
Oh, you bet. And I think that's the one theme that we've heard from Fastwalkers is that we brought together the different people within ufology in a manner that there is a coherent picture and a coherent message, and that people can get it in one setting. And I think that's really the strong point of Fastwalkers, and I think that's why it'll be successful out there and why it is enjoying the success that it is.
Now, when you were overseas in other countries doing part of this and other things that you've done, is there a difference of attitude? There seems to me, I'm one of the few people that I have not been a world traveler. I've been too busy spending my time in Las Vegas around casinos. So I haven't been able to get out and see the real world. It seems to me they're more enlightened in Europe.
Well, they're certainly open to...
I'm talking about UFOs.
Yeah, they're certainly open to the subject, and you know, there's a lot of agreement that it's a real thing out there, that it's not just a bunch of kooks and things. But, you know, like you have everywhere, it seems like in this field, you still get that labeling going on because of the massive amounts of disinformation that have been put out there about the whole thing, the propaganda and the spin, Jerry.
Yeah, now we're not going to go into the contact you've had because it's on our website and people can go over there, click on the Robert Miles picture, and they can hear you getting on the plane to Jupiter. But we'll talk about some other things about that.
Sure.
And basically, when did this first contact happen with you?
Well, it happened in 1971 when I was living aboard my boat in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Now, you've been a sailor most of your life, and you're living in the desert. Now, tell me the connection.
Well, there really is. It's more of a disconnection than a connection.
Okay.
I miss it, Jerry. I miss it a lot. Mm-hmm. And part of my goal is to go ahead and build that big ship that you see on the cover of the book, the Safe Space One, because that'll put me back on the water.
What is it about? Now, you lived on a boat even. What is it about? I here again, I've been in the desert and been in Oklahoma, so I haven't been many places. I've been every place in the United States because of my career, but what is it about the ocean that attracts you? What is it? Just the poetry is written about it, music written about it, documentaries.
Well, I think there's several components. One of them is the feelings of independence that you have. When you actually have a vessel that's totally set up and you live aboard and you can travel anywhere in the world on it, and you have this feeling of independence and a certain kind of security, but the security is actually very insecure, because the ocean can be magnificent, it can be gentle and it can be sweet, but it can also be a terrible, fearsome, scary place to be.
You ever been caught out in a big storm?
Oh, I've been in several, Jerry, and every time I vow I'll never go back aboard the boat again, and I'll if I ever get to land, if I survive this,
yeah, that's kind I'll of, never go kind back. Of like, Lord, just let me win this next hand. I'll never gamble again. And then, of course, next week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the ocean is like that. It gives you the most beautiful feelings of serenity and peace and tranquility, and there's also a kind of a euphoric energy about it that I think you can only experience if you're out there. And of course, there's no dirt, Jerry. That's another thing. Most people, you know, they are really amazed because there's no dust and dirt.
Yeah, I started to say, you don't have a dust storm.
That's right.
And where you live and where I live, we have them. Yeah. And had some recently, as a matter of fact. How about, tell a little bit about this project with the boat that you want to build and why you want to build it. Not just because Robert wants to hang around on the third deck or whatever you call it up there.
Right, that's a poop deck.
Okay.
You know why they call it the poop deck?
Yeah,
right?
That's where the toilets are. But anyway, no, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, that's where the sailors used to go.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
But the reason we want to build the ship is it would, first of all, be a totally self-contained unit that would be capable of traveling the oceans of the world under the most wonderful conditions, using modern technology, the integration of common sense, technology, love. There's also an incredible feeling that comes from building and creating something. I mean, it doesn't, whether it's a farm that you build or whether it's a buggy.
Well,
or
I mean,
a car.
Is this going to be a hospital ship or something, or what are you talking about
the,
here?
Is the ship itself will be a very advanced research vessel. It will also be more of a training vessel for people that want to come aboard, see what it's like to live on the ocean, see what it's like to be around the sea. It also has a group dynamic, because when you're aboard a ship, you're operating 24 hours a day, and people have to be a lot more than just crew. You know, they have to be part of the feeling, and they have to be part of the vibe that this kind of a ship is going to be an example of people working together, mankind, humankind, all being cooperating, bringing together not only their combined talents and energies, their nationality, their diverse experiences, but also all the different levels of technology and scientific information coming together to create something very advanced and modern.
Any big story out there in the paranormal or ufology that grabs your attention? They kind of go together in a way.
Yeah, they do. And I think that...
and they probably have a bigger connection than I like to think, even. I kind of try to keep them separated, but I'm not so sure you can.
Yeah, I'm not so sure you can either. There's... you know, out there, when you're out in the ocean, there's a lot of undersea craft. There's a lot of things going on. 80% of the Earth's surface is covered with water, and most people never get a chance to experience that part of it.
Did you ever see something you couldn't explain while you were out there, craft coming out of the water or something?
I never saw a craft coming and going from the water. Of course, we saw lights, and on my trip to Hawaii, I had a Russian submarine come up right next to my boat, and that kind of was exciting, but unfortunately it wasn't a UFO.
It was
very easily identified.
Did they open the little deals and come out and wave at you?
No, actually they came up right alongside of us because they were having a war games maneuver out there.
Oh, and you were in the middle of the war games?
We were on the edge of it, and they brought the sub right up next to us and started moving us out of the way and moved us about 2 or 3 miles on away from where their activity was. And
they didn't communicate with you?
Not at all. In fact, as we tried to, we were about out of food. We wanted them to stock up our galley.
You know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because I was thinking, everybody takes that for granted, but I imagine that's the one limiting factor.
It really
unless
is.
Unless you just want to eat some sort of fish, but after a while you can't do that even. I guess.
And a lot of the places in the ocean, there's not a lot of fish.
Oh, really?
When you get out in the deep water, it's very unusual to. I mean, you got a fish. A lot of fish like to hang out around the bottom, and the bottom might be 18,000, 20,000 feet deep. So, you know, you need a lot of fishing line. But there's exceptions, but, you know, you basically have to carry your all your provisions with you. You have to be self-contained, and water is a big item, too.
Yeah, because that's salt water. Nobody wants to drink that.
Exactly.
It wouldn't last very long.
If you've got a large enough ship, you can have a desalinator, which converts the water.
Have you ever tasted that water?
The converted water?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I wonder what it tastes like.
I'm sure it's good.
Okay. Yeah, well, good. I told you, folks, he's optimistic. Always optimistic. And I was thinking, boy, that's going to taste like you know what.
Oh, no.
Okay, so to make a long story short here, you're not going to do another DVD or movie right away.
Well, you never. I never say
this is a trick
we won't
folks.
Because there's a good possibility we will. And fact is, I've got a good script, and this is a fictional one that I'd like to do. But you know, Jerry, it'd be nice
for
to,
a mature man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be nice to do it with a budget. So how about putting the money in and financing
and then
this?
You can be in the movie.
Yeah, well, you could. Yeah, we can take care of that.
Well, they just ran, NBC ran a little piece on the fact that people do almost anything to be in a reality series. So I guess the casting couch is still alive, and maybe you can get some money from somebody. Not necessarily that way, but at least, hey, you can be in the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, this would
but
be
But you
the
have
greatest.
Scruples, so I know you just wouldn't take anybody.
Yeah, well, this would be a great reality series. The building of the ship and the creation of the team has a reality component to it, for sure. And Fran wouldn't let me take anybody, as a matter of fact. You know, the whole casting couch thing would probably have to go to you.
I'm limited at my age. No, I'm thinking in terms of, you know, a lot of people, we'll do your story if you want to pay for it. That's not what you're talking about.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and so that's what I was, to get past the joking about it.
Yeah.
It's trying to approach it from a humorous level, but no, you're the kind of guy who wants the facts laid in on the table. Folks, Robert Miles would like to do a movie with somebody, but you have to have a real story.
Yeah.
Well, is that right?
Well, I've got a real story, but...
Oh, you've got a story.
I've got a great story, Jerry, and it's a fictional story, and so it's kind of fun, a romantic adventure, and I think that one of the challenges that anyone doing movies faces is distribution. I mean, there are so many new technologies now that are allowing us to take movies to the screen that the challenge of distribution is the big one, and I would ask people to help us out there to be able to get the word out. And put Fast Walkers on the agenda, you know, show it to your friends, show it to your family, and help with the distribution of it. Let people know that it exists out there, because without distribution, you know, the basically the product just sits on the shelf.
The lovely Kerry Cassidy just walked by, and we, of course, will be talking to Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy later today, and that show will be coming up soon. This show's over. Robert, you've talked us out.
All right. Well, it's been pleasure as usual, Jerry. It's tough keeping up with you. You're pretty funny, and you're a good show to be on. I always enjoy it. Thank you for the opportunity.
He doesn't give me money, but compliments work with me. That's the reason I'm in the position I'm in. I could have been so. Never mind. We've already mentioned Roberta Scott once in this hour, so we won't plug her. She's the On Location producer. And our technical editor is the lovely Jane Sportley, who has taken orders from you at one time and got acquainted with everybody. You gave her phone number on a couple of... We agreed to take some orders for you on Fast Walkers because we sell it, and we appreciate the business relationship.
Well, you do a good job, Jerry. We really appreciate all of the nice promotion that you've done for the show, and we love working with you. You guys are a great team.
With that... I got to close the show before my head gets too big and won't fit on your computer screen. Until next time, Jerry Pippin, cheers.
The doors are finally open at shopjerrypippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features three different Jerry Pippen UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippen.com.